Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday. It's time for a hot episode of Group Chat.
Woo!
We're going to start off with some unfortunate news for Retail Joe. And Retail Joe is actually joining us today.
Wow.
He's having a rough week.
Yeah.
We're going to talk sneaker news and some exciting new drops in the world of streetwear and sneakers. Big news for you, Anand. Big news for the Impossible Burger.
Huge.
Huge. Also, we're talking about a hot new IPO that's coming. We're going to see if we think it's a good investment or not.
Hopefully Joe comments.
Hopefully Joe can comment. I think this could maybe turn around Joe's bad investment. The Saudis are literally printing cash.
Printing.
We've never had really a look into the Saudi money and what it looks like. And now we're getting that. And holy cow, this is insane. Whole Foods just got a lot cheaper. It looks like Bernie Sanders is off to a really good start to his 2020 campaign.
We may have a dark horse.
We may have an old dark horse because people are rallying behind Bernie, and he's raised a lot of money. We're going to talk about quickly movies. There's a new Avengers trailer. Tickets are already on sale. And the Joker has a new poster. And I'm going to be honest, I'm sold just off of the poster.
Big.
The Warriors. May have heard of them. Golden State. You a fan?
Definitely not.
You're not?
Of the Warriors?
Yeah.
Come on.
I know D hated them, but I didn't know you hated them.
No, I hate them.
Okay, so D and Anand both hate the Warriors, but apparently they're in the minority because the Warriors are also printing money off of this new arena. And we're going to talk about how.
The Saudis of California.
They're the Saudis of California. Jesus. We're going to give an update, unfortunately, on this Martin Shkreli character in jail. He just got moved to solitary confinement. We're going to tell you why. And last but not least, we're going to give an update on the very tragic murder of Nipsey Hussle. What's going on with the case? It looks like they may have just caught a suspect. That's it, guys. Hit us up on Instagram at GroupChatPod. Let us know what you think of the episode. Give us your feedback. Comment on our videos. Just hit us up. We're on there constantly engaging. Thank you for continuing to make us the number one podcast in the world, growing week over week. And if you get anything out of this episode, if you just enjoy sitting and listening to us, all we're asking you to do today is share it on your Instagram.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Let's get into it, guys. Group chat.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, group chat.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Joe. What, dude? Trying to do an intro here.
I wanted to start, so there's a problem.
What happened, Joe?
So I bought the Lyft stock because, you know, my wife and I.
Yep.
You know,
when'd you buy it?
So it opened at $86.
Did you go big or?
You should have waited till 88.
You slow play.
Yeah. So right when it came out, it was at 86, and then it went to 88. And Jill and I were so happy, and we were talking about where we're gonna go on vacation this summer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it closed that day like 79. So I was like, okay, no big deal. Lost a little momentum.
Yeah.
Just and then in the today it's at 69.
So you're down 22%.
So you're off a cliff.
Jill. Yeah. So looks like Jill's going to leave me now.
Yeah.
Because.
Luckily, she has her Pinterest stock.
Yeah, I mean.
Not yet.
Fingers crossed on Pinterest. Otherwise, it's really over.
Yeah.
Right now, she's just a little mad. Looks like we won't be getting Cadillac margaritas at Cheesecake this weekend.
Retail Joe got fucked on Lyft. Joe got fucked.
And I don't even mean to, like, Joe, but we told you.
But here's the thing is, if you listen to this podcast and you thought about buying Lyft stock, I hope you didn't.
I got a bunch of messages about, would you buy Lyft stock? And I was honest.
You wrote back and said no?
I said at, you know, a 20% pop, which is double their last valuation a year ago when they haven't figured out profitability or any pathway to profitability. It's probably not the right bet.
I said, fuck no.
I would say
I give a little more color commentary.
I would say we probably... well, you guys probably saved one or two people.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think
maybe significantly more. But because
this is what the real overarching story is: mm-hmm. is that everyone doesn't get to get rich.
Yeah.
It's called the 1% for a reason.
Yeah.
So if it's accessible to all of us, that means it's too late. That's the way you should be thinking about investments.
Yeah.
Is like, we're not going to get the quick hit. Look, if you look at Lyft, maybe over a 10-year horizon, Joe might be okay.
But aren't there some IPOs that you get a quick hit?
Yeah, but like if you sell the stock too soon, you get capital gains hit too.
Yeah.
Short-term capital gains. So it's like, it's just, you can't operate with the idea that a stock is going to pop and you're going to make money the next day. If you're operating like that in investing, you're never going to make money. You have to take a long-term horizon and take on, if you really believe in the company and you've done your research and you feel confident that if I held this thing for 5 years, I'm in good shape.
That's the risk of these cool companies.
The public markets is rigged against Retail Joe.
Yeah.
Completely rigged against Retail Joe. Retail Joe is there to basically be the volume so that the bigger funds can...
It's a dumpster for... The Retail Joes get dumped on. Think about why.
Explain to me why.
Because...
There's a concept called efficient markets, which is what people sometimes say about the stock market, that there's all this information that everyone has readily available and the stock market price reflects it. That is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
Professionals who do this for a living that spend 16 hours a day talking to companies, analysts, talking to executives off the record, talking to everyone off the record, have an asymmetric amount of information than Retail Joe.
Yep.
So in a stock market, if you buy stock, someone else is selling it.
Yep.
So there's two parties to the trade.
Yep.
And when these big funds that have asymmetric amount of information about a company are selling or buying, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. So the people who were selling were the initial investors on this IPO.
Just think about it like kind of just bigger picture,
dumb it down for me, meaning in the case of an IPO that's this hyped up IPO, the buyers are Retail Joes, a shit ton of them.
Once it goes public. But the sellers
are all the initial investors, the founders, the everything. They're the ones coming up while Retail Joe gets dumped on in this scenario. Is that what you're kind of saying?
So the existing investors will have a lockup.
Mm-hmm.
So they sold into the IPO. So that's pre-pop.
Yep.
So everyone that, like the founders, they said sold like $400 million with the stock.
Yep.
That $400 million was sold at the $70 price.
$72.
So they didn't get to capitalize on this 88.
Yep.
But what happens is once it goes public, now you have the world of day traders that are just buying and selling, high frequency traders, buying and selling in a fraction of seconds. And they're the ones who are making money in this last 5 days. The other long-term holders have a lockup for 6 months, so they can't sell for 6 months.
Got it. Man, tough week for Joe.
And it's already below the IPO price. So from the company's perspective, it's kind of scary to be below the IPO price, especially because I think yesterday and looks like today were both record highs, all-time record highs
on the stock
market. So it's when the momentum is good, if your stock can't hold up, what happens when the tide turns? The other issue is there's obviously everyone else is trying to come
That's
out
what
public.
I'm saying. Aren't they all fucked?
Well, Uber should be a little more nervous.
But if you're any of the CEO of like these types of companies, especially Uber, obviously.
But this was just super over. There was too much excitement on this. Like if it was priced probably closer to the last round, they still would have got a pop. They still would have. It's just the bankers got greedy and were like, oh, we can get. Everyone wants this. Jack this price up.
So remind me, sorry if you'd already answered it, but who benefits off of the greed of jacking up the price? Who made money on that?
All the investors.
All the investors that sold into the IPO.
And the bankers.
Yeah, that sold at 70.
And the bankers.
And the bankers make fees.
So the bankers are happy.
There's no Retail Joes in there.
No. It's a lot of Wall Street.
I'm sure
a lot of Hampton Joes.
Yeah.
Hampton Kennedys.
Hampton, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are like, fucking Retail Joe, idiot.
Damn it. Well, listen, this is one thing that I'm really proud of is I do think our listeners really listen to what we say and pay attention. And this is a case, which I think there'll be a lot more of going forward, where I think we directly gave a bit of a heads up to the listener. And it was really effective. I mean, because if this thing would have popped and stayed relatively flat or went up a little bit or whatever, we would have been like, oh, trust us, just wait, just wait. It literally, for our prediction, could not have looked better on, on a graph.
Yeah.
It looks horrible.
And I bet you, I don't know who the bank that did the IPO, but they're pressuring their fund and saying, you got to buy this shit.
To prop up the stock. So that's what happens afterwards, even though no one admits to it, that JP Morgan, Goldman, whoever these guys, whoever the underwriters are, when a stock like Lyft goes public, and it starts cratering, they force their asset managers, kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod, prop up the stock, meaning
keep buying it
so that...
To make them look better.
Yeah.
So like if Lyft closed at $30, it'd be a really bad...
Everyone's getting fired.
I just think this has to be scary for any of these companies. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being dramatic here, but I think that a lot of these companies know that there's a potential end coming. They are trying to IPO before that happens. There's a bit of a get out now thing.
Yeah.
And I think if Lyft is the biggest one to do it so far, and that went so far terribly wrong, I just think if you're at any of those other companies, you're like, man, we got
to
make sure
we'll have to see how the stock holds up.
Yeah.
Like if it's at $40 next week, it's a disaster.
You know, I will say of all the companies that kind of are talking about IPOing, they probably shouldn't have been the trailblazer.
Yeah.
Because their numbers just, I still believe in the concept of ride sharing, but when you have negative 44% EBITDA.
But I would argue that for them, like if you're the CEO or founder of Lyft, that is exactly what you should have done.
Get up before.
You should have been first.
Yeah.
Because if this would have happened then, everyone would have doubted Lyft much more.
No, Lyft did a smart move. I'm saying
for the market.
Yeah.
For the market, not for, obviously.
Joe and Jill. Let's hope for Pinterest, man. It's coming. Jeez. Okay. This new Fear of God collection.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
I like it.
Is this the second?
Yeah, second drop.
Do we know, even if it's a rumor, how was his deal for two collect? Was it yearly? Was it?
We don't know. We've heard 1 year.
Where do they distribute? Is it all e-commerce?
Mainly on the on sneakers app. But it was also available at like select retailers. Like I felt like RSVP Gallery had it.
It's $9.99 an hour at Foot Locker.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
Sweat it out.
For $40, I'd rent it.
Yeah.
Pair of Fear of Gods.
That would be a great segment if we did video.
Yeah.
Going and renting just the most ridiculous.
But I mean, it
like,
makes sense for a shoe like that. How much is it going to cost?
You won't be able to get it. So you're going to end up spending $1,000 to
$1,000 resale. Yeah. You can't wear that shoe like every weekend.
No.
It has to be like a one-off.
A special occasion.
Yeah.
If you can't afford to buy it, you shouldn't have it on your damn feet.
So, okay, if you rent a tuxedo.
That's different.
No, why? It's not.
Why? It's the same thing.
No, it's
my first ever tux I had to wear.
A tux isn't a status symbol.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You
it's
go to a black tie wedding and you're not wearing a tux, you look like homeless.
No, it's a uniform for a particular style of event.
This is a uniform for a particular style.
No, it's a status symbol.
If you go to Travis Scott Astroworld and you don't got fly kicks on, you look like a clown.
Then don't buy the freaking concert tickets and go work on
your thing.
Let
them enjoy it.
Or just wear your shitty shoes.
If you're going to Astroworld, you better look fly. Don't be looking like a bum.
Be your damn self. All that I'm saying is I've even bought I actually bought a nice tux, very nice, custom, for your wedding.
Yeah.
Which you had to.
Yes, exactly.
Should have rented it.
But my point is,
saved you lots of off-lights.
I didn't show up to flex. I showed up because that was the required attire.
That's
for
how
the event.
These kids feel with these shoes.
You're not required to wear Yeezys to get into an Astroworld.
If you go
concert.
To like some private school,
hold on. What if they feel insecure? You're going to go to the concert.
You're supposed
and feel
to feel insecure because that is what powers you to go frickin' make something of yourself and not covering it up with your $9.99
old man drama, preaching.
No, I'm just trying to motivate. Just trying to get our priorities straight here.
Okay.
All right. Next up. This may be bad news to some. Old Man Drama is going to continue on and say this is good news because Old Man Drama looks out for the...
Man of the people?
I'm a man of the people. And I don't like, people causing harm to themselves. They're going to have to pay for it later. It looks like the CTE League, a.k.a. the AAF, is shutting down, not doing good.
It's over.
It's over.
I think it lasted 52 days.
What? Like, how so quick?
They just didn't. They didn't raise enough money. So it was. It looks like they had about 70 some odd million dollars in total financing. Even early on in the AAF league, there was like payroll issues. It was just
so promising.
People weren't getting checks on time in the beginning.
Yeah, those highlight.
So here's the thing. I actually think it would have worked.
Yeah.
It was just underfunded. Because it's such a big production, right? It's many teams. It's TV. It's just an experience that people are used to at a premium level.
This is where you need Elizabeth Holmes.
You do, you know to I mean? Keep...
She can raise on nothing but yeah. a good story. These guys have a highlight reel that looked insane. I can't believe.
I actually think this is obviously creates a huge opportunity now for XFL,
yep.
who's taking their sweet time. They've raised $260 million and sounds like it's going to launch next year.
Yeah.
So spring, summer football is clearly something of interest to people. Johnny Manziel was out on Twitter giving financial advice. Saying,
is he the right guy to be getting financial advice?
Why? I think he's good advice.
Kid who?
Yeah.
Okay. So where's the qualification exactly?
That's enough.
A rich kid?
Yeah. You're a rich kid. You can give financial advice.
He didn't do well in the NFL.
But yeah, but he's not giving football advice. He's giving financial advice.
I'm saying, where's the...
Listen. Let me play the tweet.
Just asking.
If you're an AAF player and the league does dissolve, the last check you got will be the last one that you get. No lawsuit or anything else will get you your bread. Save your money. Keep your head up. It's the only choice at this point unless something drastic happens. I think that's great advice.
That's no shit. That's what we call no,
no
shit.
But I bet you he probably heard teammates, oh, we're going to team together and sue them. Guess what? When a company goes bankrupt,
there's nothing to get. Gone. So Johnny's out there giving legal advice. Free legal advice.
It sounds like the $70 million came from one guy, too.
Yeah, Dundrin or whatever.
Yeah, Todd.
So Todd just sank $70 million.
Yeah, Tom or Todd.
For a couple good Instagram clips.
Yeah.
Shit.
It'll be a good 30 for 30.
I'm surprised, man. I really have
Tom Dundon.
Dundon.
I mean, I thought like at least it would last at a minimum a couple of years. How's the big three thing lasted so damn long?
Maybe it's better funded.
That thing seems like Cricket Town.
Why? It's Ice Cube.
It is Ice Cube. When's the last time you saw a highlight clip?
I see highlight clips of Big Three. Yeah. I actually watched it last year. It's entertaining.
Not as entertaining as some of those fun.
No, of course. Football
sacks.
Is just a different beast.
Just saying. I believed in it. Okay, next up. Good news for you guys. Good news for Team Vegetarian. And big, big news for Impossible
Huge. Foods.
They are launching the Impossible Whopper at Burger King. Number wow. one, I just want to point out another move by Burger King to be on the front lines, making moves.
Yeah.
Really trying, even though their food sucks ass.
Well, I'm going to have my first Whopper now.
You should. I bet it'll be amazing. Because you want to know what I've noticed with Impossible? As a meat eater, the shittier the burger and like the condiments and the more it's lost in all the just good American just stuff, the better it is.
Yeah.
If it's too clean and too just like the burger and whatever,
you realize
it's not real. So I bet a Whopper will be probably better than the original Whopper.
I mean, doesn't that go for meat? Like if it's not seasoned well and cooked?
No, like a good steak.
But isn't it seasoned? Unique. It's not like just a raw piece of rib of a cow.
A good steak is more raw.
Yeah, but don't they load it up with butter and...
Not a good one. Not a true.
You're telling me a good steak is just
cow.
Literally just like
you just hunk it out of the cow.
It's like moo.
Yep.
Chop.
Still
like imagine if you took an In-N-Out burger and said everything gone but just the meat patty. You think it'll be good?
If you took an Impossible burger, everything gone.
No, not Impossible. Oh, yeah. A regular beef burger. Yeah. Probably not.
No.
It's the whole package.
No, it'd be no.
Yeah.
I think all burger that probably goes for all burgers, both beef and non-beef, right?
It's got to be.
For the most part, except for some gourmet.
Because I see people trying Impossible Burgers for the first time. Yeah. They take everything off and they cut it and they go, oh, this is gross. I'm like, I want you to eat all your burgers like that from now on then.
I had that one, what was that from, Dan, where we got Impossible?
Monty's.
How was Monty's?
Monty's was incredible. Best Impossible Burger
That's
I've
vegan,
had.
Too.
It's disgusting. I can't believe I ate such a thing. That is literally like if you took an Impossible Burger and put it on an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah.
That's as close as you guys will ever get to the full In-N-Out experience. It's amazing. But that's my point. It's trapped in Thousand Island and all this other shit.
Isn't there a line around Monty's?
Yeah.
All the time.
I can't believe you guys haven't been there.
I can't wait in line.
I actually have a plug.
You do?
Yeah.
You just haven't used it?
I just didn't know it was that good.
Okay, one day we all just need to get Monty's.
Yeah.
Danny went one day.
I want a Whopper.
The Whopper's now going to be in the St. Louis area to start before it goes
Why St. Louis? Is that a stupid question? Are they based there?
I mean, I guess if you can convince people in St. Louis to eat Impossible Whoppers.
Why start hard?
Why not go like West Hollywood?
Yeah, like West Hollywood. They're going to be like, oh my God, I'm so progressive.
Yeah. I mean, like I went to dinner with a bunch of people at Delilah the other day. It was like seven people, six people ordered Impossible Burgers. Mm-hmm. That would never happen in.
But can you imagine if they could eat like the normal people food and go to Burger King?
You know, maybe it's just like, hey, if we can convince people in St. Louis, then it's obviously going to work in L.A. You can't have L.A. as the test market.
Yeah, but go to L.A. Let all your little influencers post it.
Jaden.
Yeah, let Jaden post that shit. It's hashtag saving the earth, hashtag water for Flint.
Yeah.
And then bam.
And it's only a dollar more than the original Whopper, which I didn't think. I thought it would be a lot more.
How much is a Whopper?
Yeah, that's good. In all seriousness, I don't know. I mean, as cheap as you can make them. let me just say this. As far as fighting the good fight, which is, this is a much healthier alternative, and it's also much better for the environment. I think getting these things into fast food chains is the answer.
That
will significantly change the amount of
perception,
whatever's happening, all the bad stuff. This could be a huge win.
Yeah.
I can't wait to try it.
Yeah.
And props to freaking Burger King, man. When you want to give, like, Not Afraid to Try Shit Award for 2019. I think so far.
Yeah, what is McDonald's doing? I know their business is good, but like
fattening people up.
Yeah.
Well, they changed CEOs and just started focusing on just like menu items like breakfast all day and those types of things. But these are the things they should be focused on.
But their business is good, so I guess they're not as scared as BK, the king.
You got to get out in front of it. You can't tell me you don't see a change coming.
Change gonna come.
Ronald better bundle up. It's going to get cold out there. Okay, next up. Did you guys see this? So there was this auction at Sotheby's.
Sotheby's.
Which was it all Cause/Simpsons?
A lot of it was.
Okay, so it's all Simpsons.
Themed art.
Themed art. A lot of it was Cause. One painting sold for $14.8 million, which is a record for Cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big reason why this is news and why this is interesting, especially to us, is because it was like a heavy, number one, this is $28 million worth of Simpsons themed art at Sotheby's.
Yeah.
But also the crowd was apparently very millennial, hoodie wearing. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's a perfect example of kind of the type of money that's maybe in a place that you didn't think it was.
Yeah, and I also,
and Simpsons.
So it was Art Basel in Hong Kong last week, and the biggest takeaway was that there was a lot of young people. I mean, the article headline is so annoying. Millennials in hoodies spend $28 million on Simpsons art. Like, shut up.
Yeah, but you think that, the reason why that was interesting to me is because I bet at that just bougie, shitty crowd and what they're used to seeing. For them to recognize, like...
But why? Yeah.
Because all I'm saying is don't listen to what they said. That's, of course, stupid from the mouths of, like, highbrow art douches. But what I'm saying is that means that there's actually a noticeable change happening in the audience of people buying art at those types of places.
Yeah.
That also is dependent on the artist, right? Cause is huge among people sub 40.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, okay, well, shit, now...
And now people sub 40 are rich.
Yes, and but I would argue it's almost the same way that like high fashion was disrupted by streetwear. To me, it feels similar. It feels like this highbrow art world is saying, wow, there's real money in these people that don't look how we're used to them looking that want Simpsons Cause art, which they probably never took serious.
And I also think like they even sold a bathing ape Cause shoe for $16,000.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, you could have read that.
The Cause,
like the biggest
piece. Let me tell you something. Retail Joe should be all over Cause. Cause is like an artist. Everyone I talk to who is in
How
art,
is Retail Joe going to get Cause?
You could buy, you could overpay for a Cause today if you want one.
Okay, retail so Joe retail just got Joe, his fucking ass handed to him on Lyft. You want him to go buy art?
Where's Retail Joe in St. Louis eating his Impossible Whopper? Can I get to Cause?
Go on thefancy.com. There's Cause.
All right, Retail Joe, listen.
It's Cause. How much? What's the lowest Cause?
I mean, you could get like a Cause bear brick. I just think Cause is an artist. Everyone who I know collects art, when I ask them about Cause, because it's so mainstream now, Cause, is like, is it still too late? Is it? And nobody says it's too late. Like, everyone says that.
No, clearly not.
I mean, the biggest piece went for $14.8 million. That's a rich millennial.
Yeah.
That's his record.
Very rich
it's
millennial.
Probably Pharrell or someone.
Probably John Aljum.
I saw him buying Rothschild wine at Sotheby's. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
His target demo.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. I love whenever there's like a disruption in that sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea of these highbrow people being like, who are all these millennials in hoodies?
Yeah, they describe it like the side of his head was shaved.
Yeah, it's called a fade, homie. Get lined up.
Oh, man. Okay. Next up. I got a question for you, both of you, in regards to my friend Retail Joe.
Okay.
May have heard of him. He stepped in for the intro a little bit. He recently lost his entire life savings on a very popular ride-sharing stock. There's another one coming up that I'm curious on your guys' opinion on. That is Endeavor.
Yes.
They are apparently preparing for an IPO.
Mm-hmm.
So Endeavor is, does that count? It's William Morris.
Yes.
WME. That's the people
UFC.
Who own the UFC.
Yeah.
And a lot of other shit. Not even going to try to sound smart and list it. They're apparently getting ready for an IPO. What do you guys think about this? Is this something promising? Is this a get out while you can? Is this?
I mean, here's the thing. Is their last valuation is
$6.3 billion.
Says $6.3 billion. That's what people are assuming. There are a lot of assets under this. We don't even know all the assets that are underneath this thing. And I also think at some point, they could sell those assets. And I just think it's a pretty interesting. They're also very secretive. We don't know what the hell. We don't know their revenue. We don't know their profits. We don't know anything. My guess is they're very profitable.
Yeah.
They probably make a lot of money.
I've heard some numbers. Very profitable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if, I mean, this is a really interesting one because their primary business is a service business that prints money. I mean, you've been to their office. It's insane.
So. I mean, from the looks of the office, I'd like to put my money.
I would guess the acquiring the UFC added a significant amount to their EBITDA.
Do you think they bought the UFC with this as the ultimate
Probably.
Plan?
Probably.
Because they know it's so blockbuster of a...
And that transaction has overall been positive?
I would assume. I bet you, I think they know how to extract
just
revenue.
You know more about the UFC than D and I do. Is anecdotally UFC more popular than it was 2 years ago?
I'm going to be honest. I can't honestly answer. I don't know. I think like they have moments that are massive. And then I think.
But they're extracting.
But I don't know as a number, like overall revenue. Like I couldn't guess. I wouldn't even be able to guess.
I mean, they do a good job of not paying the fighters and charging a lot for pay per view.
Yeah. So keep it tight.
That's a good business model.
There's a lot
model.
Of profit. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Do you think better if you had to invest right now in Endeavor or Lyft? Where would you
go? If I had no choice, I would invest in Endeavor because they're not going to get the valuation of a technology company.
Exactly. It'll just be more in line.
A media company.
Yeah.
It'll get valued as a media company.
So your chances of going to zero are like negligible.
Yeah, because you know they're profitable. They're obviously very well-known CEO, Ari Emanuel.
Yeah. Who is Ari Gold for all the listeners.
I mean, yes. they handed back $400 million to the Saudis after all this Khashoggi stuff. So
yeah, business is good.
Yeah, if you could write just a check back.
I don't know any tech company that handed back money.
It's a luxury to be able to like afford to have morals.
Yeah.
You know, in this game.
Yeah.
So if you can afford to be like, you know what, we don't want your dirty money.
Yeah.
You're rich. Super rich.
Yeah, so I think the IPO will probably do really well. It'll probably attract a lot of interest. Joe will be all over it.
Will he? He's like, Conor McGregor.
All UFC.
No, he won't know Endeavor.
He won't know that they own UFC. That's
but,
the problem.
No, but they will
they'll
put
let him
UFC.
Know.
They'll
let him
they'll,
know.
They'll literally,
have
the
Conor
way they're going to market it to
the NASDAQ.
The investment banker is going to say UFC is going public. And Rita, woo! Jill and I love Conor McGregor. We just saw he launched a rosé.
Proper whiskey?
We already have the whiskey. Pre-ordered the rosé.
The champ champ.
Yeah. Well, so we're definitely going to buy UFC when it goes public.
So cool.
Yeah. We love watching white people beat the fuck out of each other on four times a week on Fox. And
less than that any day. Oh, good stuff. Okay. Next up. I want to talk about someone that is just raking in the cash.
Okay.
And that... has actually topped Apple as the world's most profitable company by a very significant amount at $111 billion for 2018. Listeners, I'm going to let you take a moment to try to guess.
It is not Champ Champ.
It's not Lyft.
It's not Champ Champ. It's not Lyft. It's Saudi Aramco.
Yes.
So the Saudis and their oil, the business is booming.
It's a profitable business.
Money's just rolling in. The oil is not slowing down. What does this mean to you guys?
So it's owned by the government of Saudi Arabia. If you wonder why they're able to dole out checks left and right to anybody, this is the reason why. This business did $355 billion in revenue, did $111 billion of net profit. Either they don't pay their staff.
Oh, did I say 111 of revenue?
No, it's 111 billion of profit.
Apple's only 59 billion.
Ugh.
So here's a great stat. So Saudi Aramco has more profit than Apple, Google, JP Morgan, Facebook, and ExxonMobil combined.
They said if this company were to go public, so they've been trying to go public for the last 2 years. They believe, the Saudi officials believe the company is worth $2 trillion. Other analysts believe it's somewhere in the $1.2 trillion
range. Big gap.
It's a big gap.
$800 billion in the middle.
Here's the biggest problem with why they're going public and why they are literally time to dump their stock on Retail Joe. Because
Joe. Retail Joe is not buying Saudi.
Yeah.
No chance.
No.
No chance. He's more of a Conor McGregor. Right? Just saying.
Yeah. And so they wanted, because here's a challenge. The world is shifting.
Yeah.
Their oil fields themselves, there's a whole research that they're not even the output that people thought. They've been so secretive on their financials for so long, and they released the output of their biggest oil fields, and it's way less than all these analysts thought.
And so, less than the biggest oil field in the U.S.
Yeah.
Which was like shocking. So they never disclose any of this information. The only reason they were forced to, they're doing a $10 billion bond sale to help finance other Saudi-owned companies.
Yeah.
And this is the first time the public outside of Saudi Arabia, maybe bankers knew all this time, but first time Retail Joe and all of us found out that this is like the breakdown.
And I think the bigger issue is oil has funded that economy for so long.
Yeah.
And they're not dumb. They're investing in everything under the sun because they want to diversify their country's interests. And oil, if you're a betting person, you don't see oil being used as...
Yeah, like, do you bet on there are going to be more companies like Tesla doing electric vehicles?
Yeah, I wouldn't bet long-term on oil.
Yeah. And so they got to monetize this company before... I mean, it'll be profitable till it's over, but like... I think
it's just like, how quickly is this shift going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if one day, meaning like hundreds of years, like the Saudis just aren't a thing anymore. Because it's essentially an entire like empire built around something that comes out of the ground in your country that just happens to, happen to be in the right part of the world.
But I think they have invested how much money they're going to make on Uber, all those types of companies.
Yeah.
They've doled out some very large checks.
They're the majority of the SoftBank Vision Fund, which is a $100 billion fund.
Yeah.
It's never been disclosed exactly how much of the 100 is, but everyone's reports it's the vast majority of
it. So everyone didn't give their money back after Khashoggi.
No.
Still in.
Uber's like, I'll take another one. I'll take that Endeavor check. but it just...
It's kind of ironic because there's so many articles in the media that we read how Ari Emanuel might be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And he handed back the money. He's the only executive.
Well, he's not murdering journalists. Like, that's next level. That's rough around the edges. For like Hollywood, you know what I mean?
But no other CEO had to do that.
Agreed.
Just shows they must be so profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that, not to take anything away, I love the Ari Gold character in Entourage, and if he reflects Ari Emanuel at all, big fan.
Yeah.
But I would argue that was because they had the cash and that looks good. That was a business move.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that was such a moral judgment.
So Silver Lake, which is a big private equity shop, they own, sounds like, over 50% of Endeavor. Mm-hmm. So they probably control the board. They're probably driving a lot of the financial decisions from this perspective. So, I mean, kudos to them.
That was a marketing endeavor.
Nice. Thanks. The other interesting thing is so when oil started being exported out of Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. it was a partnership with Standard Oil and J. Paul Getty. Mm-hmm. And it got dissolved, I think, because of some
antitrust.
What?
Standard Oil got dissolved because of antitrust.
But what the Saudi had to do? I don't know why the Saudi had to break up. Know. So anyways, but if you think about it, like if Standard Oil never got broken up and they were still involved in Saudi Arabian oil, the amount of money this damn company has probably made over the last, because this is probably, I would say, declining.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure they've been $100+ billion profit.
Yeah,
for
when oil was at $80, $90, $100,
right? Yeah. I mean, these guys were printing money those years. I mean, they've made trillions of dollars of profit.
So just to be clear, once again, more for like retail Joe, when you see all of this insane Saudi wealth, it comes from this type of thing, where you're just printing hundreds of billions of dollars in money from oil every single year.
For like, Saudi Arabia specifically, I would say it's 90+% of the country's wealth is oil.
Yeah. You're involved in that industry in some capacity.
And all of our ties and loyalty and weird backdoor shit is all oil 100% related.
Like, there's Saudi Aramco has huge campuses.
Yeah, there's like a U.S. city in Saudi Arabia where all the Aramco American employees
which
live.
Which is a different planet. Like, it's like America.
Can you go there?
What do you mean?
Like, you can just go visit it?
I
don't know how.
Like Little America? It's like Little Italy, but like Little America?
I'm sure if you know an employee there, yeah.
Yeah, but the same rules don't apply.
Yeah, they have their own restaurants. They have their own things.
The same rules as the Saudi rules?
Correct. Yeah.
They have like American rules?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they know they can't get the talent. Within their Aramco campus.
Yeah, that'd be so nice. Like living in Little America.
Little Ohio.
Is that the only Little America in the world?
I bet you there's places like that all over.
That's cool. Go visit, get some of the culture, get yourself an Impossible Burger King. Soak up some of the American culture.
There's an Earth Cafe in Saudi Arabia.
Ride a bird. okay, good news for you guys.
Yeah.
Did we put a button on that? Is that good?
Yeah.
In Saudi?
Yeah.
Okay, good news for you guys. You're Whole Foods shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
You're also Amazon Prime members.
Yes.
Well, looks like your lucky time of the year. Mm-hmm. Amazon is slashing even more prices on Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And also doubling Prime member weekly deals.
Can't wait.
You said that this is finally deals on good items.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff like the vegetables and the fruit call-outs that I saw, like strawberries and avocados, things that like we regularly buy, seem like they're cutting prices. But we won't know the exact, but they said like up to 20%. And sometimes on the Prime deals,
yep.
which is going to be the weekly deal, those will be even more aggressive, 30, 40%. So I think it's pretty interesting that the prices are coming down. I mean, if you haven't been to Whole Foods lately, it is like Prime mania.
Yeah.
Just Prime.
What's
everything.
That mean?
Like literally the signage
like
everywhere.
Sign up?
No, just like Prime members get this. Prime members get that. Pretty much like if you don't. So we normally get our groceries delivered through Instacart.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you get any Prime benefit from that. But I had to go pick up something the other day from the grocery store. And I didn't have the Whole Foods app. It was really early in the morning. I just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
But if you had the app, you log into your Prime and you get your discount. And the amount of integration they've already done is like pretty phenomenal at that scale. And I think now, I mean, the amount of data they're getting because of your physical purchase, like it's so hard online to know who your customer is because they have your profile and your address. And now you're watching them do impulse purchasing.
Yep.
It's just amazing, like what kind of data Amazon must be getting from the Whole Foods experience, and how they're going to use it is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a big win for the average consumer.
Yeah.
So this is a way that Amazon's predatory tactics that they get blamed for now they're passing on to the consumer.
I don't like it. I think there's a catch.
Get your mangoes for cheaper.
No, they trick you with the mangoes.
Yeah.
And it's what you have to do to get those mangoes.
I just want an almost ripe avocado at a reasonable price.
How almost? Because avocados are pissing me off. Like, do you try to buy yours like the next day they're ready?
No, I mean, sometimes we'll get avocados. It takes like a week. I mean, like, come on.
Avocados are the
dumbest. Who's got a week to wait?
Food item.
Dom wants guacamole.
Serve it up. And then they're good for 36 hours.
If.
It's literally, you wait a week. Okay, they're good. You have 36 hours spoiled.
I mean, no one's eating an avocado avocado when it turns brown. Even though there's nothing technically wrong with it.
Really? You can eat it?
I mean, like, if you left an avocado out for 3 hours, it's brown.
Yes, but you can eat a brown avocado. Not a big deal.
I eat it. I have no problem with it.
Okay. Okay.
Dom won't eat it.
With all this technology we got, let's figure out how to make avocados last longer.
No, that's part of the problem, because then you're going to use some weird...
Okay, Gian says you squeeze lemon on it. Like on the outside of the avocado?
No.
No, but I'm saying when they're sitting in a bowl at my house, how do I keep them from only lasting 36 hours? I have to wait 4 days.
Just eat. It's one avocado. Just eat it.
But I want one today. I want one tomorrow.
One half?
No, I want the whole thing now.
Yeah, You're an Amazon Prime member. Just order it every day.
It's one avocado to my doorstep at 9 a.m. promptly.
Yeah. Please. They could do that for you.
Not bad. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Sorry, got off on a tangent there. I just have a real gripe about avocados. I've been trying to eat healthier, and avocados are the main rub. Okay, I want to talk about our next president, Bernie Sanders. So good old Bernie, you know, had a rough go at it last time around, but this guy really is coming in hot. He has raised $18.2 million in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Of his campaign. I feel like Bernie is coming back with a vengeance, and we're just going to be in full-on socialism in 2020.
Yeah.
Equal pay, equal outcome, just whatever.
Everyone gets
whatever
free
the
Netflix.
Next guy gets. Yeah. Everyone gets what everyone gets.
The most
gets.
Impressive part, it's 900,000 individual contributions at an average of $20 a contribution.
That's 18 insane.
Million at an average that means, of $20.
Thanks. People really like him.
Ton of people.
Yeah, that means like 900,000 people are voting for him for sure.
That's a lot of people, man.
But you know the guy that's been bubbling the most? It's not Beto.
Chan.
Pete Buttigieg.
I've never even heard
Buttigieg.
Of him.
He's gay, I think.
He's a gay mayor from South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
He's
bubbling. Yeah.
He's bubbling.
Buttigieg. Imagine if we had the first gay
And he's
bread.
He's married. He's extremely religious from where Pence was
he's
governor.
Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Christian.
He's a gay, super gay Christian.
No, I don't know if
Sorry,
he's super
gay,
Christian.
Super Christian.
Super, super gay?
There's a super in there somewhere. You don't know that he's super
he's
Christian.
Super I know he's and religious Christian. And he identifies with a religion very publicly.
Huh.
And... So he did a town hall on CNN, I think about a month ago, and since then he's literally caught fire.
I think he was on Breakfast Club.
That makes sense.
You got to go to Breakfast Club.
You got to. If you want those young voters, you got to go to Joe Rogan and Breakfast Club.
And if you hear an interview, he's very impressive.
What's his background besides being mayor?
He's went to Harvard, Rhodes Scholar, served in Afghanistan.
Oh, you got to have that.
Oh, shit. He covers every box.
Yeah.
You're gay,
yeah.
Christian,
yeah.
served.
But is he white?
Yes.
Oof, this guy might have it.
Yeah.
Clean cut.
I think, I'll be honest, I think gay is tough though.
I mean.
Right now though, think about all of the like cancel culture.
Can you imagine Donald Trump up against it?
Oh my
You're gay!
God.
What are you talking about?
What
Shut
do you
up!
Mean? You have no idea what's going on. You're gay.
Yeah.
I just feel like woke
I mean,
culture.
Just for the headlines, we should all be rooting for this.
I mean, I just don't.
Trump versus
just for the podcast content.
Yeah.
If we come down to head-to-head Trump versus
Buttigieg.
All he just can't help but not make gay jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, South Bend's not even the biggest city in Indiana.
No.
And this guy's catching steam. That's the power of, obviously, social media and people being able to share his content.
Yeah, I mean, I like, he has, like, all the boxes what I want to see in a president. Is
gay,
like
mainly?
What? Gay, Harvard.
Rhodes Scholar.
I like the war.
Gay Rhodes Scholar, Christian war hero, white is insane.
Insane.
You realize? That's like somebody literally
and
made up a joke.
He's married too. So that's good.
To a girl or a guy?
A guy.
Oh, that'd be crazier if he was married to a girl, but he was gay. I was like, man, this guy's really checking the box.
He has an Asian wife.
And, but you know when we immigrant hear like, Mexican wife.
Yeah.
You got to have an immigrant Mexican
like
wife.
Like a dreamer wife.
Yeah.
I just recommend everyone listen to an interview.
Yeah.
It's very
you
impressive.
Like him?
Love him.
This is going to be a hell of a... election.
He, the biggest problem.
So he raised $7 million and he's literally
nobody. Yeah, $7 million's a lot.
So I feel like all these woke people would love to, like, we'll vote for him because he's gay.
Yeah.
You know, like I think gay president would normally be tough. I think 2020 is the election in U.S. history where fucking anything goes.
I know, like, but you need like what, 55, 60 million votes to become president?
Yeah, just about 60, I think.
I'm just saying, I feel like
60 million people have to vote for you. That is, dude, we don't,
no, but
we're not, we don't, no, no, we're not, no, that progressive.
No, well, the way you got to look at it is you need to just become the nominee, and then you have 45 on each side that are voting blindly. So yeah, you have to like cover
you're not
the
gonna,
10.
But you,
yeah. It's the 10 million.
But you're not going to get conservative. You're not going to get like, maybe you'll get independents because they think clearly. You're not going to get Republican people to just be like, oh yeah.
Yes, you are. They did it for Donald Trump. Go back to how you felt 6 months before Donald Trump won the presidency. You thought there was no fucking chance.
Yeah,
he was mocking like a Hispanic judge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grabbing him by pussies.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
People this identify year, with that, though.
Anything
that's
fucking
the problem.
Yeah, but we didn't know that until it came true. We thought, like, okay, well, even Republicans aren't going to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's going to be like a fucking WWF showdown 2020. Yeah. It's going to be Bernie versus the gay Christian dude versus Trump.
I think the problem is the Democrats are just going to beat each other up. Donald Trump's going to just slide in.
Yeah, the problem is that they cannibalize each other because it's a lot of people that are raising a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that means you've just fragmented the Democratic Party into Bernie camp, Buttigieg camp,
Kamala Harris
camp, Cory Booker camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump's fresh off a hot win on this Mueller
thing. Trump's smart, which he's not, he should just shut up till the main election. Do not say a word, and your poll numbers will just go up.
Yeah, we'll see, but damn it, it's going to be good for content.
Yeah, I mean, there's like eight, how many people running for president? Like 18 people so far?
Probably more, but yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the same thing on the Republican side.
Yeah.
When I say Trump let AOC in. Spice it up.
Yeah.
Lower the age.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to keep moving.
Okay.
Microsoft is thinking about creating a competitor to Shopify.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's really interesting. And the part of the market that they're actually attacking is the larger companies. So a lot of large e-commerce companies or just large businesses, if you told them to go on Shopify, which they would do.
Like who? Just
let's take...
like Macy's?
L.L. Bean.
Nice. Good reference.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry, who's running
Jerry
LL
Joe's
Bean.
Uncle?
What?
Is Jerry Joe's uncle?
He's Joe's uncle who works at L.L. Bean.
Yeah, he Jill is like
LL
Joe knew had a rich uncle at L.L. Bean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why he thought he had a safety net on this Lyft thing.
Jerry's been at L.L. Bean 40 years.
Ah, love Jerry.
Started in the warehouse.
So reliable.
Worked his way to retail.
Yeah, he did.
And then one day when the internet was coming along, was like, hey, L.L.,
Mr.
I think we need to get on the internet. And that was 2017, probably.
I think it's time to get on this internet.
So I think there's a company like that out there where their technology officer built their e-commerce on some like legacy system that doesn't exist anymore, or like just some clunky ass system, and they overpaid for it. The weird thing about big companies is Shopify is so powerful. I mean, if you look at their customer list, it's billion-dollar companies are using Shopify. But for a big company to use Shopify, you need young talent that knows how to use and navigate that world.
Yep.
So those big companies, they want to get ripped off. They want to get taken to a steak dinner, the nice seats, you know, Cirque du Soleil tickets. Yep. Microsoft can deliver that for you and have another old person sell that to you. And charge you $5 million for the same process.
And Microsoft already has a handful of these giants using their computing services.
Yeah.
So Gap, Walmart.
Yeah.
Those guys are not on Shopify. But if Microsoft creates a compelling product, maybe they can poach those guys.
So just to clarify for myself, they have said that this would be the approach, or you guys are assuming it could be?
No, this is...
They're just saying they're toying with the idea.
But they want to target the bigger players. So Shopify's main business is going after the brand new entrepreneur that wants to sell product on the internet. That's where they built their
business.
Shopify's
got to get like an old white dude that loves steak to go start taking guys to dinner.
Yes.
Like, what are you waiting on?
Yeah. Like, if Shopify had like an enterprise solution where their whole job is just take old white guys to steak dinners.
A lot of money is made with old white guys at steak dinners.
And golf.
Oh, golf.
Yeah.
Taking to Hawaii. There's a lot of Hawaii.
Hawaii, like boondoggles.
Boondoggle.
Kentucky right. Derby.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They got to get on that.
Yeah.
Because this could work.
Yeah. It will definitely work.
Okay. All right. Next up, I want to quickly dive into movie land.
Yes.
We have an Avengers trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Joker image poster. What do you think?
So Avengers tickets went on sale today. I think it's coming out March 26th.
April.
April?
Yep.
April 26th?
Yeah, it's already April 2nd. Somewhere.
So it's not even coming out.
Do you know where we are?
Yeah, I have no idea. That means it doesn't come out for 3+ weeks, and people were buying tickets today. And it was caused the AMC app to crash. Fandango app caused issues. There's pandemonium to buy tickets to a movie that comes out in 3 weeks.
Yeah, talk about a drop. Put that on StockX.
That's unbelievable, the power of the superhero movie.
I mean, that stuff is cold.
I mean, Avengers looks stupid.
I don't watch any of that shit.
Yeah, I'll watch the Joker.
Who's the star of Avengers? Michael B.
Hulk Jordan. Hogan?
No, it's a Robert Downey Jr.
Hulk Hogan, incredible Hulk. Hulk
Hogan. Everyone loves Avengers.
But I love Hulk Hogan.
Who's the star, though?
I think it's Robert Downey Jr., right?
Well, Iron Man?
No, that's Iron Man.
Yeah, they're all in it.
The Avengers
brings them all together. That's why. Because if you're an Iron Man fan, if you're a...
brings I like Iron Man.
All the dorks together.
Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Don Cheadle. Probably like a Hemsworth. One of those like handsome white dudes.
Aquaman.
Yeah. Get that big guy in there. Okay. Well, listen, man, it's the ultimate, like, but...
But it shows how powerful movies are if they're done right. Like, the anticipation for a superhero movie is like nothing else.
But talking about Steel, Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion in 2009.
They're going to make $1 billion off this one movie.
Why was it so cheap?
Probably just it was a high sticker number at the time.
Because it sounded like, yeah, I mean...
Why would you even sell it? They just got tired? Like you're like, hey,
$4 billion is a lot.
Sick
though.
Of all this running Marvel.
Disney just owns so much of like really big blockbuster entertainment.
Yeah,
and Marvel is such a valuable franchise. Like I can't believe that people were buying tickets for something 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah,
like a movie. This isn't a concert. You could watch the movie the week later and not have to.
For sure. Yeah. But these people are they're like the way they act with this Marvel stuff.
I feel like movies are hot again. Like that movie, Us, did $70 million opening weekend.
I think that just like, almost like sneakers, the hot movies are hot.
Yeah.
The rest of the cricket ones, all you hear is about the news making ones.
Yeah.
I think everything else is cricket town.
Yeah. All the movies I watch are crickets.
Yeah, because you wait fucking.
I want
years.
A subscription. I would pay a streaming service for the worst.
Yeah, it's like $1 a month.
Yeah, it's like just here, trash
because nobody else is watching it.
Yeah. And I'd watch it all day.
And then, what do you think about Joker? I love like the Joker.
It's Joaquin Phoenix
character. Joaquin is a certified psychopath.
It's so perfect.
That's what you need.
It's a home run.
The trailer, I mean, the poster looks incredible.
I can't wait to watch it on an airplane 2 years from now.
With no special effects, no sound, nothing.
Literally, with just like shitty AirPods. Headphones on.
I want to reserve the airplane and
viewing. And then he's going to get off the plane and say, it was trash.
Because he ate shitty food, got stomach ache.
Yeah. I'd be drunk.
Dom was crying, drunk on tequila. That movie sucked. Where's Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart
is central intelligence.
Kevin Hart should
he's
be the
real Joker.
His special comes out soon.
It's out now.
Oh, it's already
last
out.
Last night at midnight.
Oh, last
it did?
Night.
Watched the first part of it, fell asleep.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Not funny? Did he talk about the Oscars?
It was midnight. I get up early now.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about the Oscars yet. He talked about cheating on his wife, stuff with his kids. It's like standard Kevin Hart comedy.
Like, I'll
special.
Be entertained.
Just update.
Oh, yeah.
You'll love it.
I saw a few
right
clips.
Up your alley.
It's part of my dollar subscription streaming service.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in 3 years. Yeah. You would get it. Brand new. Kevin Hart special. Okay, another person who is printing money off of hype and early ticket sales are the Warriors.
Yes.
They have this new arena coming. Apparently, they've made $2 billion from the new arena before the doors open.
So this stadium costed, I think, $1.3 billion, and it went over budget.
So they're already profitable?
It's nuts. They have sponsorships like nobody's business. I mean, obviously, every tech company. My guess is a Warriors game, and I hate the Warriors. Warriors game is the equivalent of like Malibu Soho House in San Francisco. It's like a place to be seen. Oh, yeah.
You've been to games, right?
Yeah, I've been to a bunch of games.
And it's,
if you're in technology and in San Francisco and in that space, you look at the first three rows, like those, you want to know every single person if that's your world.
God. Yeah.
Because it's every investor, it's every founder, it's every CEO, and they're all just mingling in the little private bar that's by the court.
Like
you could go pick up $5-10 million for your company if you just sit.
Good seats.
Dorks.
And yeah. And this, the stadium, obviously, I'm sure is going to, it looks, the renderings look incredible. It's supposed to open in September with a first concert with Metallica.
Yeah.
San Francisco native, Crickets.
And the San Francisco Symphony.
You just made $2 billion without opening the door.
And the next concert is the Dave Matthews Band.
Crickets.
That's why Silicon Valley sucks.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? If you, the title sponsor is the JP Morgan Chase Arena.
Yeah.
With all the companies in Silicon Valley that have billions of dollars.
They have a sports marketing division, though.
They don't know. They don't know.
They also don't understand the value of writing that check.
Right.
It's a big
Wish
check.
Did for the Lakers.
Yeah, Wish did, and I don't think they maximized it.
I think they went on that. If you consider LeBron,
yeah.
Lonzo Ball, like the amount of imagery you got from
no
that
one at a Laker game knows what Wish is.
What's Wish?
I think I literally think it's like the Make a Wish Foundation. People
it's
think
literally
it is.
On every Laker jersey. It's the corporate sponsor.
It's an app.
It's
that,
an app
that buy, it's like the dollar store.
Still haven't got to the okay. Yeah. Like a dollar store.
Yeah.
Yep.
To swap meet on.
You
mobile.
Wish you didn't have this junk that they sell.
Yeah.
But here, so they made the $2 billion off the personal seat licenses. So if you want to be a season ticket holder, you're paying some obnoxious amount of money to even have the right to purchase seats, then suites, they've, my guess, probably sold them all.
Yeah, for suites, it's easy. I mean, Staples sold, the Warriors are easy.
And then, so here's the interesting thing. So separate from the arena, they have 100,000 square feet of retail, 580,000 square feet of office space that is the primary tenant's going to be Uber, and they have a hotel that hasn't been approved yet that they want to build, and it's going to be the One Hotel.
Wow.
And it's all part of the $1.5 billion, this whole like
yeah, and what part of San Francisco is this?
It's right on the water.
Yeah.
Mission Bay.
So filled with homeless people.
Yeah. Look at that. Just shade for homeless people.
Yeah.
That's what
that is. That's what it is. Homeless people are like, thanks. The sun was blocking us.
Yeah, totally.
Built
cool.
This big ass arena.
Appreciate that. Okay, well, good for them, man. I mean,
did they build any affordable housing along the way?
No. They didn't get any tax subsidies either.
So that's good. They made $700 million. Give it back to the community. It'll only help the safety of their guests.
Agreed.
You should talk to Joe Lacob.
I don't know.
Never heard of him. I'm just finding out what Wish is. okay. Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
This guy's last name pisses me off.
Yeah.
And it really matches his whole personality.
Just call him Kelly.
Martin Kelly?
Martin Shkreli. So Martin Shkreli, the famous douchebag,
Pharma bro,
yeah, bought the Wu-Tang album, just whatever, you know who he is. He's in jail,
mm-hmm.
has been in jail for his whole scam. What exactly did he go to jail for? Fraud?
Yeah. I think
illegally raising the prices on the HIV drug
yeah.
from like $13 to $7.50.
Like in the fraud category?
What does that even mean? There was some fraud related reason he
okay,
went to jail.
Whatever. So douchebaggery, I think, was the formal charge. And he now has been taken to solitary confinement because he's been running a company
yeah.
very similar to his old company
yeah.
from jail from like a burner phone that he snuck in. So this guy just can't help but suck.
And it's because he's so high profile, they're throwing his ass in.
Good. This guy is such a
He
loser,
also claims
man.
He's got an unreleased Drake Pusha T disc. How?
That he made? Oh,
no, that he like somehow has
he bought
his hands
I honestly think he just knows what to say to get press.
Yeah.
You know? He did that a lot when he was free.
He got securities fraud. That was his.
It's probably from predatory pricing.
God, he's such a loser.
But that's what every pharma company does.
Well, anyway, listen, I just, you know, whatever. He's in solitary confinement. I wish you could just, I don't know. Get him like beat
I just,
him up or
just stop covering him. I just don't want to read about him anymore.
That's the best thing. You know what? I'm going to end this story.
Okay.
I don't want to give him any more prep.
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least, unfortunately, we're going to end once again on a bit of a down note. I wanted to give a quick update on all things that we know about Nipsey Hussle.
Yep.
So since we brought it up, which was on Monday's episode, I can't believe how much has transpired over the short amount of time. There's security video from kind of across the parking lot.
Arrested. He just got arrested. The suspect.
Damn.
Eric Holder, 29 years old. Also,
AKA Shitty.
Shitty cuz. 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Taken into custody in Bellflower, 20 miles from where the murder happened. That's all we know right now. And he is once a member of the Rollin 60s.
He is.
Why don't you give a little bit of background?
Okay, kind of here's the background. We left off just off of the murder and everything else was completely speculating. Turns out they released security camera footage. They also released some information that they said they believe that Nipsey knew the guy, that it was not a rival gang. They had reason to believe that. You can kind of see in this video how the guy walks up and walks up to Nipsey standing with a couple of friends and starts shooting. And you see the couple of people fall on the ground, and it's pretty graphic, and I don't really recommend watching it. It turns out the best story that they could tell the public was that there was something that happened earlier in the day where this guy apparently was a notorious snitch, mm-hmm. and Nipsey had told him, "You can't be around here. You can't be at the store. You're a snitch." The guy felt embarrassed and disrespected, walked off calmly, came back with a gun, walked up, killed Nipsey Hussle. That's pretty much how it seems like it went down, from what we know, from what law enforcement is telling everyone. So then they released the picture, the name of this guy, nickname Shitty, and they've been hunting for him. Apparently they just found him. I cannot believe he's not dead.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean,
I can't believe he only got the Bellflower.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why he got his nickname. He's a little shitty.
Everything's shitty about this guy.
Yeah.
But either way, he's not going to do well in prison. He's not going to do well anywhere. I mean, this thing, the reaction to Nipsey Hussle passing away, I think, has been like, you know, insane. Yeah. Well deserved, but everyone's obviously talking about it from any side. It's not a gang thing.
You know,
I don't really hear anyone saying bad. The only thing that is really annoying about the whole thing is there's a lot of people talking about government conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, you know, apparently Nipsey was working on a documentary with this guy named Dr. Sebi, who apparently found a cure for AIDS and a lot of other diseases and proved it in court and whatever. I don't really know the story, so I don't want to get into it. He had a quote in an interview, Nipsey did, where he said, "If they kill me for this documentary, y'all better ride for me."
Yeah. So they took that.
It started this whole thing that it was the government, and now the government planted Shitty cuz, they paid him to do it, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, normally this stuff doesn't like bother me at all, but I think this is such a tragic example of someone who was so big and doing good things and just creating such a name and a path, and was killed by a stupid one person with an ego problem that was a psychopath, cold-hearted killer, and had access to a gun easy and went and murdered him. That is what it was.
Yes.
And I think anytime you try to get around just that fact and trying to address the fact that that happens and that mentality is still alive, I think you're doing a disservice to the whole thing.
Yeah, and then that's why I didn't even want to mention the conspiracy on Sunday, because I'd already read that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so out of line, because that's just not how that world works. They're not sloppy like that. If they wanted to accomplish anything,
they wouldn't do it in Crenshaw's Lawson.
Yeah, right? I mean, it would. And by the way, he was already working on the documentary. It was publicly known, so the information's out there.
Yeah, the way those is like, oh, Nipsey had a heart attack at his house.
Yeah.
100%. Right? And here's the other thing. You can look up Dr. Sebi on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
You think if the government is out killing people, that they're not taking footage off of YouTube?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, come on, man. It's just, the problem for me is, I think everything about this is tragic. Meaning, it's tragic that Nipsey had the intention to do so much for where he came from, but he was still there mixed up in the arguments
world
and the stuff that's going out without proper security, without whatever. And the fact that one person, angry and with a bruised ego, can murder him.
Yeah.
That needs to be talked about.
Because what it really addressing is that there is still a major issue happening with people who come from those communities who do well. I don't care how powerful whoever you are, because it sounds like there was some kind of a war going on amongst like the community.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to know how to handle that situation a little bit better. Getting someone riled up doesn't help your cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. The whole
thing. As a leader in the community, just move on.
And you got to kind of remove yourself from that culture.
Yeah.
So if you want to solve the culture problem,
show the example of saying
exactly,
we have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
But I think the great debate, which I like, I think it's a good debate, is where, because there is a line, meaning like we've talked about this in the office. Like I think Kendrick does an incredible job. Kendrick has given a lot of money to Compton schools. He's donated a lot of stuff. He does a concert in Watts every year with Rihanna and huge artists. He does a lot to give back for that community. But I don't think you'll see him lingering around without proper security, without whatever. And I think the question is like, how do you give back to where this happens? Just as an example, the reason why I think this is important is because like where I'm from, people aren't killing each other, but there are people that are downers that you want to help, but the energy's bad. And so it's like, it's this question of how do you give back and not forget where you came from? Because that's a notorious thing that people talk about, but not get caught up in it and somehow draw the line to do it at a distance.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in his world, this means murder as opposed to, fortunately, in my world, it means bad energy.
Yeah, bad Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, like very fortunate for that. But my point is like, where do you draw the line? I mean, he was at the end of the day, he was trying to be a good example. In his mind, I'm guessing he's standing out there and hanging out there to be an example. And say, here I am. I'm reachable.
I'm in the community.
Yeah.
I'm reachable. Yeah. Come talk to me.
Yeah.
But all it takes is one idiot.
Yeah. And
but if that's the story that he called, he didn't like that he snitched, it kind of begs the question, you know.
Who cares?
Right.
Who cares that he snitched?
I get it, man. But when you're raised on one system, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a jam. But I think to a degree it's not for us to debate. I think,
like, if you snitch, I would just unfollow you on Instagram. Like, you're a snitch. I don't want to see your content anymore.
Imagine if I was a snitch.
Like, I would just unfollow you.
Snitch on.
I wouldn't shoot you.
Thanks. I think that it's something that needs to be talked about. And I think, to be honest, we're not the ones to talk about it publicly. I think in that community of street life and coming up through in that world, you have to address it, man. You owe it to your people. You owe it to your community.
I feel like Breakfast Club did a good job today.
They did a great job. Charlamagne and DJ Envy did a great job at explaining it.
And we can't say the things that they said. So
what did they say?
You got to listen.
We will not say it.
Okay.
Because it is not our place.
Okay.
But I do think you got to address it, man. There's something in that mentality. It's more than just income inequality and lack of opportunity. There's something in the community of ego and respect and murder and killing your own people that is.
And I wish, you know, there was a countless number of famous people that posted about the sad and awful situation, which is completely like what you should do. But you could also go a little deeper in the conversation than just the Instagram
Nas
post.
Nas did.
Nas did a great job.
Yeah. I got to read it.
Yeah.
But I just wish more people that are from these types of communities don't just do the gone too soon.
Yeah.
Just be like, gone too soon and here are the issues.
And how do we fix it?
Nipsey was such a, he reached so many people and was such an impactful person. I think the reaction of his death makes that very clear. I hope that at a minimum, this causes some of those conversations to start.
Yeah.
Because nobody expected.
But it has to be like people that the community respects. It can't just be like.
But they got
to
step up.
Yeah. It's got to be whoever the leaders in those communities are. They need to step up.
Because everything I hear from the older dudes is like, they didn't expect Nipsey to. They just didn't think this could happen to Nipsey.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you're saying, despite anyone's rage, you're like, we're not going to take it out on him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he had so much respect he had. So that just, I think it's hitting a lot of older people in that community hard, because it's like, damn, man, like, I thought he was the type of person that is exempt.
But when a younger person who doesn't have that same,
they feel disrespected.
Yeah.
And there's a gun around the corner.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So crazy.
Okay. So that's what's going on. Guys, happy hump day.
Yep.
Thank you for continuing to listen, continuing to tell your friends. Continue. We're constantly growing every single week.
Yeah.
That's because, strictly because of you guys sharing it, telling your friends, and letting everyone know that the number one podcast in the world is.
Yeah, and here you know, stay. we're not reading ads here.
No.
Not yet, at least.
We'd like to.
Yeah, we went to a one
family dinner. So since we don't read ads, this is 100% a nonprofit.
Yeah, it's actually a loss.
We're running a nonprofit.
Do you think these cameras are free?
Yeah, so we're losing a lot of money every episode. Can you guys please share?
Help us.
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell somebody.
Everyone, do us one favor for
Hump Day. Tell an Uber driver.
If you're still listening to this episode right now, you like it.
Yeah.
Right? You like us. You like what we're doing here, and all that we ask is just share it today.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Post this on your story. Do a little swipe up. Oh, you can't do swipe ups, huh?
Some people can.
Okay. Just tag us. That'll do.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.